it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
It's an overcast Wednesday afternoon in the great Pacific Northwest. In Seattle here this afternoon, the Orioles are trying to get back in the win column after losing quietly last night in Seattle. A game ending last night with 20 consecutive Oriole outs. So it is time to clean up today in Seattle. Trey Mancini will bat fourth, and Adam Jones will get the day off. In a moment, Buck Showalter and the manager's report right after this.
What's up?
Adam out of the lineup today. Is it just a rest day?
Oh, yeah. He's fine. Sore. Just wear and tear. 9 days in a row, trying to give him the benefit of 2 days. He's available off the bench. I knew I was going to do it 1 day this trip, and was hoping it was only 1 day. Well, he's fine. Just we talked about it. It's either DH or just like to get him off his legs completely, quit firing off that front leg a little bit. I was looking the other day at the games played since he signed the contract. Pretty impressive. Adam's been he's been a rock. But the balls, you see the stuff that he fouls ball off his feet and legs, shins, plays the game. It's a great example for everybody. So it's one of those things you almost got to take it out of his hands. If you ask him, he's always going to. But when you get him to almost agree with you, almost, then you know it's probably a good idea. See if we can get the benefit of 2 days.
Trip when it was brought up, you said, well, how many teams that were 500 ever make the playoffs? Well, it's
I don't think that's some big revelation, right?
Right, but it may be a revelation. It just seems like there's nobody with a great there's nobody with a great record in the wild card, that there's so many teams grouped around your team's record in the chase. Are you surprised that three-quarters of the way into the season that there are so many teams with this kind of record?
I don't know about surprise. I think probably if you look back at this time last year, which hopefully you have, you wouldn't find a whole lot of change, I'll bet. It seems like every year, and then someone takes off. There's a big snowball time of the year. That's probably what's been a little surprising. Sometimes teams kind of, mentally it becomes a challenge because of the wear and tear on the emotional and mental side of the game to stay engaged. And so you're always hoping that you get on that positive roll. But, at this level with so many talented people, there's just small separators and things can snowball either way. So, we got about 6 weeks left.
When you look at the schedule, you knew that coming out west was, going to be, challenge no matter what. Going home, you guys have, I think, 16 of 19 at home. So is that,
on paper, maybe. Yeah. On paper. The game's not played on paper. We're home for 6 days. We go back on the road, So, you're playing a team that had an off day and then played two in Washington, another off day. So, and they're sitting there waiting on you. So, you're going to have to make a quick turnaround. I don't know. It's that time of year. It's not like Boston, New York, Toronto, Tampa, like they don't make a West Coast trip and you do. Everybody does. I was telling Scott the other at home plate the other night, every team has their tale of woe with the schedule. You can pull up everybody's schedule and you'll find something. It's just what it is. But there's a great return for the hardship you go through. So suck it up. Nobody wants to hear it.
But is that a good thing, though, that after coming back from the West Coast that you do have a pretty sizable amount of games at home?
On paper.
Yeah. Okay.
On paper. If you look at home records, what I don't think the Angels care. I don't think Oakland cares. And what may be perceived as a bad matchup or something with pitching going in, I can't tell you how many times you go. I knew last night was going to be a challenge for us. There's a lot of it's so easy to get ambushed up here, especially with the, as rested as their bullpen was last night.
JJ, everything's still going good?
Yeah. I think today's an off day. I'm not sure. But I'm hoping that we're can get into the hitting part of it soon. I know he's been taking a lot of draft swings. He's getting a little better every day. Bobby works with him. I know he's ready to get going, getting antsy about getting going. Sure would like to get him back. I think we got to make a move or two in the next few days unless something changes. I know they're working out at the stadium today, those two guys.
Are those tough calls?
Of course they are. What would you do? Speculate. I'm sure I haven't read anything anybody's said or written, but I'm sure there's a lot of suggestions. I mean, I know what we're going to do going into it, waiting to hear from Dan, but I got to do one of them day after the game. I don't think they have to physically appear until Thursday, what I understand.
In Seattle here this afternoon, Orioles are trying to make a 2 out of 3. Ubaldo Jimenez today trying to become a 6-game winner. His opponent today, left-hander Marco Gonzalez. Nice to have you aboard. In a moment, Jim Hunter. He's got Ubaldo Jimenez. Jim Hunter is the only guy allowed to talk to the starting pitcher on the day that he pitches. And you'll hear that in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
It is an overcast day in Seattle. We have daytime baseball, rubber game of 3 between the O's and the Mariners as the Orioles today conclude the 10-game West Coast road trip. They head home after the game to begin a 6-game homestand. Ubaldo Jimenez up next on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles conclude the 10-game road trip this afternoon. Daytime baseball in Seattle and visiting with Ubaldo Jimenez. Ubaldo, baseball is such a funny game, and every time it looks like you have it figured out, something happens. You've been pitching really well the last 3 starts, very consistent. What occurs when you get into a stretch like you are now where it seems like everything falls into place versus other times in the year when you may have struggled?
Well, when everything is going good, you don't have to think about anything. You just go to the mound and compete, and everything comes easy. But on the other hand, when you're struggling, that's the hardest part. I mean, you have to find a way to have some energy to work out of the tough situation that you're in. And it's really difficult. Like, you start working on things every day. You might hear every person telling you different things in order to make you better. But it's really tough.
So thinking within a game is actually counterproductive to pitching well?
I guess. But sometimes, I think the other part is, when you're pitching good, you don't have to think.
Right.
You just go there and execute the pitches. Whatever the catch is called, it's easy just to execute it. But I guess when you're struggling, you have to think a little bit more on the things that you need to work on.
You've told us so often about the fastball command and how important it is for you. It is for any pitcher, but because your secondary pitches are so lethal, if you're throwing that fastball for strikes, all those other pitches play right into your hands. Why is it such a challenge to have the consistent command with the fastball when here you are, you're in your 12th big league season?
I don't know. But it's, for me, it's all about my mechanics. You know, my mechanics is a little bit different than most of the people. Most of the pitchers, but I think once I find my good release point and I feel good with the mechanics, I'm able to get ahead and locate the fastball wherever I want, and that makes all of the other pitches even better.
When you're in a groove like you are now, your last 3 starts have all been outstanding. Do the mechanics cooperate and fall right into place for you?
Yeah, you don't have to think about it. I go to the mound and watch whatever the catch is called, and if I like it, I just execute it. I don't have to think about, oh, my arms are, my hands are here. I have to make sure if I stay back or not. I don't have to think about anything.
You're probably the strongest of the Orioles starting pitchers. Is that why, in part, you've always been so successful from August to the end of the year? You've been a tremendous finisher.
I don't know. I think it's got every day, but I think since I was 17 that I signed my first professional contract, I always put in my mind to always finish hard. It doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish. And that's something that is always been paying off for me, that it doesn't matter. I always try to find a way to survive and compete at the end of the season.
Because of all your experience and all the big games you've been in, the Orioles are in a real tight race to get back to the postseason. Does that help you avoid thinking about the magnitude of the game and just go out and say, okay, I'm going to pitch deep as I can in this game, and the other stuff will fall where it does?
Yeah, it does. It does. There's no question about it. I mean, something that I always put in my mind is that it doesn't matter how big the game is, you have to think about it's just like another game. I know it sounds easy, but it is tough to do. But I think with experience, you get to that point that you just make it. You just make it on your mind. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of game, that you have to go out there and think it's the same game.
You're in your fourth year with the Orioles, and it's been the same all 4 years, where you're fighting for a postseason position late in the season. You're going for it. You're going out there trying to get it done. And again, I think that has to be a help, because it's really nothing new to you. It's just, okay, it happens to be 2017 versus the other 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, every year that I've been here, it's like we always playing for something. It doesn't matter how we do at the beginning of the season or at the mid-season. It's like this year, we struggle a little bit, and then a lot of people were thinking, oh, they're going to be out of it right away. But here we are. We're competing. We're playing for something. We're playing for so meaningful games, especially in the last 2 months of the season.
Okay, finally, when you go to the mound, you obviously have a game plan. You have scouting reports. But I would believe that most of it is how you're feeling, because you control what you throw. How much does the catcher influence the game plan? Is your catcher, whoever it is, a suggester? Or do you like to follow what they're doing? So, again, you think even less. They put down a sign and you go.
It makes everything easier when you have a catcher that is always in the same pace, as you are. I mean, guys like Caleb, I've been with him for the last 4 years, so he pretty much know everything that I like to throw in what count, that I like to throw this fastball over here, location-wise or anything. So it makes it even easier to go out there and just compete. But I think that Wellington has done a great job too. Like, he's a guy that wants to learn every day, especially how the pitches are. And then, I mean, those two guys are great.
From Seattle, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Jim Hunter are back in Seattle in the loss column today. Orioles gave it a real shot there in the ninth inning as they sent a total of 8 men up to hit in that ninth inning, down 3 runs. They scored twice without a hit. And they had the tying run at third base when Chris Davis, on 3 pitches, ended the game with a strikeout. And so Seattle wins 2 out of 3. Orioles go 4-6 on the road trip. Well, for the second time in the series, Tim Beckham today got the Orioles off to the best possible start. Beckham with the Orioles now, what, 15 games. In those games, his batting average, .484. 30 hits in 62 at-bats.
That's good, right?
Amazing. No, that's Hall of Fame. Yeah, the old one, let every fly ball, right center. Did he do it again? This ball is way back in the gap, and it is gone. A home run. Wave it bye-bye. Beckham, for the second time in the last 3 games, has led the game off with a home run. And up until 2 games ago, he had never done that before in the major leagues. And so it's a 1-0 Oriole lead just like that. And that ball carried extremely well to the gap in right center. It did. Beckham, his 17th home run, 1-0 Orioles. It stayed that way until the third. Ubaldo Jimenez got up to a pretty decent start. But then in the third, he gave up a leadoff double to Zunino. And then with 2 outs, that's when Heredia came up to hit.
Ubaldo deals, swinging a line drive, base hit left field. That's going to tie the game. And that heads to the corner. Zunino around third, he will score. And Heredia to second base with an RBI double. Now that one was up in the zone, and Heredia jumping on the first pitch. And he doubles down the left field line. That ties the game 1-1 here in the third.
Yep, tied the game. Ubaldo in the fourth inning, well, Nelson Cruz, the leadoff hitter, Ubaldo hit him with a pitch. So he was on base. Alonso came up to hit, and he delivered a big 2-run home run. And Seattle, for the first time today, had taken the lead. But then in the top of the fifth inning, 1 out, bases empty, Rickard a single, Joseph a single, and then Gentry got the big one. and the 3-2 pitch. Fastball hit to deep left center. Oh, boy. Way back there. Way back there. It's on the warning track. It takes a big bounce and stays in play. Here's Caleb coming in to score. There goes Gentry with a hip first dive into third. That's an RBI triple. It ties the game in the fifth inning. Oh, there you go. Gentry, RBI triple, and then Beckham came up again. Gentry, the lead run, is now at third. And the left-hander, Marco Gonzalez, again at the belt, and delivers. And Beckham hits a ground ball, base hit left field. He beat the draw in infield. So Gentry comes in. Beckham gets it done again. He drives in the lead run in the fifth inning. It is now 4-3 Baltimore. And Beckham has gone 2-for-3 on this Wednesday afternoon. How about that? So Orioles get 3 runs on 5 hits. Yeah, they took the lead, but it didn't last long. Ubaldo back to work, gave up a single to Segura, and then he hit Heredia with a pitch. And then Cano came up and began the Seattle comeback. So Ubaldo takes a look, and the right-hander comes to a set and delivers. Cano line drive over Beckham, and a base hit the left center. So Segura is being waved in. Mancini makes a balloon throw. Machado cuts it off, and there's no play at the plate. It's a tied game in the fifth inning on a Robbie Cano RBI single. Yeah, then after that, it was Alonso with a base hit to put him ahead, and then Valencia a base hit to give Seattle a 3-run bottom of the fifth inning. Eventually, it stayed that way. Seattle had taken the lead. Trey Mancini had a marvelous defensive game. His latest example came with 2 aboard after a big double play ball and 1 man aboard in the seventh inning. Mancini against Gamble made 1 heck of a catch.
2-1 on Ben Gamble, runner at third, 2 down. Tillman Deal swinging a line drive to left field over Mancini, makes a diving catch. What a play by Mancini. He just saved a run. Mancini into a full dive, made the diving grab, and that ends the inning. Trey Mancini having some kind of a day at left field.
Yeah, phenomenal. Trey Mancini, outstanding defensive game. And that was after Leonis Martin had homered against Richard Blyer to give Seattle a 3-run lead going to the top of the ninth inning. And then came that ninth inning. Edwin Diaz came out of the bullpen, and boy, did he struggle. He walked the leadoff hitter Caleb Joseph, and then he walked the pinch hitter Seth Smith. And then he walked Tim Beckham. And so the bases were loaded with nobody out. That's when Machado came up to hit. And that's when Leonis Martin came up with a defensive play of this game. And now the 2-0 delivery. And there's a fastball, fly ball out toward right center. Driving over is Heredia. And going on the run, Martin goes into a dive. And he made the catch. What a catch he made. Now Joseph tags up. He comes in to score. The ball back into second base. But Martin looked like he came out of nowhere. And diving toward the gap in right center, made the catch to get 1 big out. But the run scores to make it 7-5. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if that catch is not made, who knows what would have happened after that? Well, we do know that Scope came up and struck out for out number 2. And then Mancini came up to hit, and Diaz hit him with a pitch. And then Trumbo came up to hit, and Diaz, he hit him with a pitch to force in a run to make it a 1-run game. Exit Diaz. Enter the left-hander Zepchinski to go to work on Chris Davis. First pitch, swing and a miss. Second pitch, swing and a miss. And then came the third pitch. Slowly getting back inside the box, will take his stance, takes 1 swing, cocks the bat. Zepchinski is ready, and he delivers 0-2. Got him looking. Strike 3 called. Ball game is over. Davis goes down on 3 pitches. A swing and a miss, a swing and a miss, and then he takes a fastball for a called third strike. And that's how the game ends. They get 2, they leave them loaded, and they come up a run short, and they come up short on the road trip. They go 4-6. Yep, let's go home. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back in Seattle as the Orioles drop the finale, losing this rubber game to the Mariners by a final of 7-6. It was 7-4 going to the ninth inning. Orioles scored two, but they strand the bases loaded as Chris Davis, a three-pitch strikeout. He took a called strike three. That's how the game ended. And the Mariners get the rubber game, so the Orioles go 4-6 on this road trip, and they're now 8-8 in the month of August. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments. Buck Showalter is with Gary Thorne.
Skip, I don't know how to even define that ball game. You were that close.
It's frustrating. You know, we had a good run at them there at the end. Just need one big knock there, and had a lot of good at bats. Strung a lot of good at bats together, and made a good relief pitcher really work for it. So it's unfortunate. Got Zach some work, and Tillman presented himself well again. And just those, go back through the game, you see the little things that ended up being the difference in the end.
Trey Mancini, outstanding day in left field.
You know, I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to make mention of it. The work that he and Curb and Brady back in spring training, to watch the way this kid's playing left field now, I can't tell you how proud I am of him. He's turned into a solid defender out there, and if you watch him during batting practice, he's playing every ball off the bat like the World Series, and that's how you get better.
What did you think of Ubaldo's start?
I thought he was up with a lot of soft stuff, and you know, we went ahead there, and we come back in and get right back up. And, you know, they had a couple of CNI singles and didn't hit a lot of balls hard, but you know, he went through a couple of innings. I thought he was going to get on track, and you know, he didn't. And unfortunately, you know, being the difference right there. But I'm glad we got some work out of the pen. But he's been pitching so well for us.
Buck, what do you see? An overview on the road trip, the only trip here you're going to make out west.
You know, Gary, my overview is where it's over. You know, I was looking today at the records of other teams in our division, and you know, it's a challenge. But you know, we competed well. It could have been better, and we would like for it been better. And I'm not going to say it could have been worse. I don't live in that world. It is what it is, and we have an opportunity here going the last 6 weeks of the season. You grind like hell to have a chance to roll the dice in September and October, and that's where we're at.
And thank goodness for a day off, huh?
Well, yeah, it's you know, tank's been running. Everybody's running on semi-empty, but people are working 9 to 5, 5 days a week. They really don't want to hear it, and we got a great job here, and compared to a lot of people. I passed a few construction sites on the way in today, and really realized how, I always realize how lucky we all are, including you.
I agree with that. Okay. Thanks, Skip.
Thank you.
The post-game comments, Buck Showalter with Gary Thorne. As the Mariners win the rubber game, they get 2 out of 3, winning the final two games after the O's won on Monday night. Final score 7-6 here in Seattle.